This is Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast.
Film Bookcast. The official podcast of Film Book. Get ready for the latest in film news, TV show news, and theatrical reviews. Film Book's podcast starts now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Film Bookcast, the official podcast of Film Book. My name is Chris Banks. If you're tuning in for the first time, what I do on Film Bookcast, I discuss the latest film and TV show news. I also review an in-theater film. You can find more about Film Bookcast on film-book.com by using the search term Film Bookcast. You can also email us at podcast@film-book.com with Film Bookcast in the subject line. Now let's switch up gears and head on over to some TV trailers in this week. Fans of Yellow Jackets were treated to the finale trailer this week. It showed the main characters going to the high school reunion, but not before disposing of a dead body. The horror mystery series premiered on Showtime in November, created by Ashley Lyle. It's about the fates of stranded plane crash survivors in two distinct timelines. The first unfolds in 1996 as a teenage soccer team does whatever it can to survive. The Yellow Jackets finale will premiere on January 16th on Showtime. Check out the trailer now. Another really good trailer that debuted this week comes from Apple TV Plus, and it's for a new 8-episode limited series starring Uma Thurman. The show's titled Suspicion. It'll debut February 4th. It's about a high-profile CEO living in New York City, where his son is taken by four mysterious mass kidnappers at a hotel. As the FBI and UK's National Crime Agency set their eyes on four seemingly ordinary British citizens staying on the hotel, they scramble to prove their innocence, but not everyone can be trusted. It's like a transatlantic game of cat and mouse. Check out the trailer for Suspicion. It'll debut on Apple TV Plus, with the first two episodes dropping on February 4th. The last TV trailer we'll look at this week is Inventing Anna. It's going to be on Netflix. It's about the downfall of a real-life scamming socialite. It'll debut February 11th. In the trailer, we get a look at Garner as Anna Delvey. She was found guilty in May 2019 of grand larceny and theft of services. She has a really cool German accent in the trailer. It also stars Arian Moyd, Katie Lowes, Alexis Floyd, Jeff Perry, and many others. Check out the trailer for Inventing Anna. It'll debut on Netflix February 11th. That's it for TV trailers. This week in movie trailers is a really exciting trailer titled Everything Everywhere All at Once. It comes out next month. It stars Michelle Yu, Stephanie Hsu, K.U. Kwan, James Hong, and Jamie Lee Curtis. It's really a modern kind of interpretation of life within this new concept of metaverse. It's really exciting. Check out the trailer for Everything Everywhere All at Once. It'll be in theaters next month. Another cool movie trailer that came out this week is from A24, and the film title is X. Just simply X. It's directed by T. West. In a secluded farmhouse in Texas, a film crew arrives to shoot an adult film. Their hosts, a reclusive elderly couple, takes a special interest in their young guests. As the night falls, the couple's leering interest turns violent. Check out the trailer for X. Anything by A24 is good, but this looks like a very retro, unique, timely horror film. Check out the trailer for X. It'll be in theaters March 18th. The last movie trailer we'll talk about this week is another horror film, this one titled Hellbender. It comes to us from Shudder. They just bought the streaming rights. It's going to debut on February 24th, and it's Hellbender may be a franchise for families to experience a good horror film together. The film follows a 16-year-old girl named Izzy, who leads an isolated life on a lonely mountaintop due to a rare sickness. Questioning her illness and starving for companionship, Izzy sneaks down the mountain where she befriends the brazen older girl, Amber. Just as Izzy finally begins to feel happy again, a drinking game involving a live worm unleashes a new kind of insatiable hunger within her. Confused and scared, Izzy appeals to her mother for answers, but the family's secrets are as old and dark as the bloodline from which they're born. The trailer for Hellbender is really crazy. I can't believe this is a family centered story, but it's good because horror is so in now that if families can watch this together and really have a good time, it's good for everybody. Check out the trailer for Hellbender. It'll debut on Shudder February 24th. That's it for movie trailers. Let's switch up gears and check out what came out in DVD home releases this week. Spencer is now available on DVD. December 1991. The Prince and Princess of Wales's marriage has long since grown cold. Though affairs and divorce are abound, peace is ordained for the Christmas festivities. There's eating and drinking, shooting and hunting. Diana knows the game. This year, things will be a whole lot different. Spencer got a 76 Metascore and is now available on DVD. MLK FBI is now available on DVD. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. is remembered today as an American hero, a bridge builder, a shrewd political tactician, and a moral leader. Yet throughout his history-altering political career, he was often treated by U.S. intelligence and law enforcement agencies like an enemy of the state. In this virtuistic documentary, award-winning editor and director Sam Pollard lays out a detailed account of the FBI surveillance that dogged King's activism throughout the 50s and 60s, fueled by the racist and red-baiting paranoia of J. Edgar Hoover. In crafting a rich archival tapestry featuring some revelatory restored footage of King, Pollard urges us to remember that true American progress is always hard won. MLK FBI got an 81 Metascore and is now available on DVD. Also available on DVD is Mass. Years after an unspeakable tragedy tore their lives apart, two sets of parents agree to talk privately in an attempt to move forward. Mass got an 81 Metascore and is now available on DVD. I'm Your Man is now available on DVD. Alma is a scientist coerced into participating in an extraordinary study in order to obtain research funds for her work. For 3 weeks, she has to live in a humanoid robot tailored to her characters and needs, whose artificial intelligence is designed to be the perfect life partner for her. Enter Tom, a machine in human form in a class of its own, created solely to make her happy. I'm Your Man got a 78 Metascore and is now available on DVD. Halloween Kills is now available on DVD. Minutes after Laurie Strode and her daughter Karen and granddaughter Allison left masked monster Michael Myers caged and burning in Laurie's basement, Laurie is rushed to the hospital with life-threatening injuries, believing she finally killed her lifelong tormentor. But when Michael manages to free himself from Laurie's trap, his rich bloodbath resumes. As Laurie fights her pain and prepares to defend herself against him, she inspires all of Haydenfield to rise up against the unstoppable monster. The Strode women join a group of other survivors of Michael's first rampage who decide to take matters into their own hands, forming a vigilante mob that sets out to hunt Michael down once and for all. Halloween Kills got a 42 Metascore and is now available on DVD. Dune Part 1 is now available on DVD. A mythic and emotional charged hero's journey. Dune tells the story of a brilliant and gifted young man born into a great destiny beyond his understanding. He must travel to the most dangerous planet in the universe to ensure the future of his family and his people. As malevolent forces explode into conflict over the planet's exclusive supply of the most precious resource in existence, a commodity capable of unlocking humanity's greatest potential, only those who can conquer their fears will survive. Dune Part 1 got a 74 Metascore and is now available on DVD. That's it for DVD home releases. This week in TV news, America's Funniest Home Videos will pay tribute to former host Bob Saget this Sunday with clips and remembrances. The show released a statement that said Bob was the backbone of a TV show that has gone on to entertain not only America but the world. Bob made us smile, he made us laugh out loud, and oftentimes he would make us giggle. A comedy legend, a kind soul, our dear friend. We will miss you, Bob. ABC will air the show's tribute Sunday, January 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Some more TV news. South Park, fresh off its two December post-COVID movie events, will return to Comedy Central for its 25th season next month. The long-running animated comedy will return with 6 episodes on Wednesday, February 2nd, to celebrate its milestone premiere. Exciting news for fans of South Park. In some exciting TV casting news, Euphoria and A Wrinkle in Time star Storm Reid will join HBO's series The Last of Us. She'll be playing a character called Riley. The Last of Us takes place 20 years after modern civilization has been destroyed by a deadly virus. Joel, a hardened survivor, is hired to smuggle Ellie, a 14-year-old girl, out of an oppressive quarantine zone to the Fireflies, a cure-searching organization. What starts off as a small job soon becomes a brutal, heartbreaking journey as they both must traverse across the U.S. and depend on each other for survival. Reed will guest star as Riley Abel. She's an orphan girl growing up in post-apocalyptic Boston. In The Last of Us Left Behind, a DLC original video game, Riley accompanies and survives with best friend Ellie before she meets Joel. Exciting TV casting news. The last bit of TV news we'll talk about this week is some more casting news as HBO series Perry Mason adds Mark O'Brien to its roster. You may recognize him from Marriage Story and Blue Bayou. Mark O'Brien is also a filmmaker, and he's set to star in season 2 of HBO's Perry Mason as a recurring guest star, Thomas Meligan. He's an ambitious Los Angeles deputy district attorney. He's an aggressive attack dog in court as he strives to make his mark and ascend to greater heights, no matter whose blood he has to spill to get there. Season 2 will be 8 episodes long and will premiere later this year. That's it for TV news. This week in film news is some exciting casting news as Aaron Eckhart is set to lead Rennie Harlan's action thriller movie, The Bricklayer. It's due to start filming in Europe this March. Gerald Butler is also in the film. It's about someone blackmailing the CIA by assassinating foreign journalists and making it look like the agency is responsible. As the world begins to unite against the US, the CIA must lure its most brilliant and rebellious operative out of retirement, forcing him to confront his checkered past while unraveling an international conspiracy. Hannah Wegg has written the screenplay for the film. Another piece of movie news is some disappointing news for Netflix fans as the streamer is again raising prices on all plans in the United States and Canada. It's going to be more expensive, the company announced this week, and it's the third time in 5 years that Netflix has raised its prices. The cost of the basic streaming plan in the U.S. is rising by $1 to $9.99 a month, while the standard plan rose from $13.99 to $15.49, and the premium rose from $17.99 to $19.99. The price hikes will be effective immediately for new subscribers, but Netflix says it will roll out the price changes more gradually for current subscribers. They've raised prices every year since 2019. Rounding out the week in movie news is another piece of exciting casting news as MGM has acquired the U.S. rights to Guy Ritchie's next film. It's an untitled Afghanistan war movie that will star Jake Gyllenhaal. He plays a sergeant on his last tour of duty who is teamed with a local interpreter to survey the region. When their unit is ambushed on patrol, he and the interpreter are the only survivors, and the interpreter ends up risking his life to carry Gyllenhaal's character across miles of grueling terrain to safety. But the film resumes back on U.S. soil when the sergeant learns that his hero was not given passage to America as promised. He's now determined to repay his debt and protect his family and friends before the local militias reach them first. Sounds like a very cool project. We'll keep up with news as this film titled so far The Interpreter. We'll keep up with news about its release. That's it. All right. Time for this week's movie review. For this week's movie review, we have to talk about The Tragedy of Macbeth. It's directed by Joel Coen. You know who's in this. Denzel Washington, Frances McDormand, Betty Carvel, Alex Hassel, Corey Hawkins, Harry Melling, Brendan Gleeson is in this. I had no idea. For those who aren't familiar with Macbeth, and I'm not sure who could be not familiar with Macbeth, but a Scottish lord becomes convinced by a trio of witches that he will become the next king of Scotland. His ambitious wife will do anything to support him in his plans of seizing power. I would have loved to seen what the Coen brothers could have done with this movie. I'm not sure if it would have been any different than what we got with The Tragedy of Macbeth. The Tragedy of Macbeth is now available on Apple TV. It still is playing in theaters, and it was playing in theaters since December 25th. I spent a lot of time in the Macbeth universe in one of my classes in my life, and so The Tragedy of Macbeth is very close to my heart, and I was very excited to see this film, because if Denzel Washington is Macbeth, well, sign me up. I'm actually extremely displeased to report that I'm not sure what to make of this movie. I was shocked by its length. It's very short. It's only about an hour and 45 minutes. I have no clue how you can shrink a story like Macbeth down to what we see in The Tragedy of Macbeth. Leaving that at the door, let's dissect the film. It's all in black and white. It's very artsy. I read an interesting article with the cinematographer that talked about how he wanted to make Shakespeare, like visual Shakespeare. You know, you want to cut up certain scenes into making it stand out more visually, which I'm not sure it worked the way that they intended it for it to. I'm a little disappointed by its narrow scope. There is so much in this story that you can talk about, that we can go down the rabbit hole with. But the synopsis I gave you at the beginning is very succinct because the movie is very succinct. It's very tight. It's very basic. It's very almost primal in its presentation of something so incredible. The fact that this was made during the time in which Trump was in office is telling, because I'm sure that the desire to make this film about a king, about someone who becomes a king and slowly becomes mad, the more damage he does, the more power he sucks into himself. I don't really want to go down the rabbit hole of the actual story, because I could talk about that for hours. But Denzel, I was very excited about him being Macbeth. And to be honest, I'm still not sure what to make of his performance. And it's so disappointing to say that. But I think that he's the greatest actor of our time. So he does it justice. There's a particular scene, I forget which one exactly, but he really loses himself in the scene. And it's really good to see him lose himself within a particular piece of Shakespeare, because he's such a tremendous actor. And to see him be able to go there just teaches the rest of us what great acting is. But there's a sense of, I'm not sure that he had his heart in it, or maybe it was just the time in which they recorded it, or something that... There's just something very underwhelming about Denzel's performance in this film. Frances McDormand, on the other hand, is incredible as Lady Macbeth. The difference between them in my experience watching the film was everything that Frances said, you felt, whereas Denzel would come off as very... he just didn't exude his feeling as well as Frances did. Brennan Gleeson was very good. Corey Hawkins as Macduff is a brilliant casting choice. I love Corey Hawkins in this. And Brennan Gleeson as Duncan is an amazing choice. It all worked very well. The casting choices worked very well. There was just something about the performance of Macbeth that was lacking for me. And it was not the performance per se, but maybe the feeling of the performance that was lacking, because I love Macbeth so much. I love the story so much. I love the relationship between Lady Macbeth and Macbeth so much. But the film doesn't even go there, really. I mean, it gives you tastes of it, but a film like Phantom Thread gives you more insight into warped love than this version of Macbeth did. And there's so many ways you can give the viewer's insight into the relationship between, the really contorted relationship between Lady Macbeth and Macbeth. And the film really doesn't even go there. Because, I mean, there is a lot and you have to squeeze it in. But if this film was 2.5 hours, they could have done a lot more with it, I think. Overall, the film is a very good work. It's just visually confusing at times. It doesn't look good sometimes. It looks too fake. They needed to put a little more effort into the staging, because it was just obtusely fake sometimes. But I think in the canon of, you know, Macbeths, this may be the best one. I'm not sure if that's saying things about the canon of Macbeths or this film, but I think, I mean, it's good. I would give it a 7.5 out of 10. It's just that I love it so much, and maybe my expectations were too high, and the film underwhelms me just because I was looking forward to it so much. I'm taking that into consideration too, so that's why I'm giving it a 7.5 out of 10. Definitely worth your time. If you're a fan of Macbeth, you'll enjoy these characters. They're so great. You know, Moses Ingram as Lady Macduff is just, she's amazing. Again, Corey Hawkins is amazing. Harry Melling is amazing. Let's talk about Catherine Hunter. Holy crap. The witches are one of my favorite part of Macbeth, and Catherine Hunter plays all three witches, and the first scene that we see her in is, I think, one of the most memorable scenes in cinematic history. There's a lot of scenes in this film that are powerful. Maybe one of the most powerful scenes in cinematic history, just because of what the character is doing and the person Denzel, what he brings to the performance is amazing. I just wish that he had more connection with what he was doing, you know, or something. There was just something lacking with that. But that's the only criticism I have of the film. I think Joel did a great job. I would love to see what both Coen brothers would have done with it. But the movie is under 2 hours, which is incredible for Macbeth. But it's definitely worth your time. Check out The Tragedy of Macbeth if you can check it out. It's in theaters. It's also on Apple TV. And I hope you like it as much as I did. Thanks so much for checking us out this week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Film Bookcast. You can find more of my work on film-book.com. Just search for Chris Banks or Film Bookcast. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at CBanksy. That's S-E-E Banksy. I'm also on Instagram at TheChrisBanks. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or another podcast service, please rate and review this episode. If you're listening to this podcast on our YouTube channel, Film Book Podcast, please like our video, subscribe to our channel, and leave us a comment in the comment section. It really helps other people discover our podcast. Please also consider becoming one of our patrons on Patreon at patreon.com/filmbook. Your support really helps us create more engaging content. You'll find our Patreon link below in the description. If you want to tweet about this podcast, just use the hashtag FilmBookCast. Tune in next week for the next episode of the Film Bookcast. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you then.